Last night, I took a leap, stepped well outside my comfort zone, did something I never imagined, embraced the possibility that something else may be able to bring me joy, solace, or maybe even love. 3 days of self-induced confinement, 3 days of tears and pleas and questions, pleas for forgiveness, questions about whether or not I was doing the right thing, and if I could actually do what so many had suggested. Tears over moving forward to find happiness again. Does it make me a bad person to want more? To crave something other than pain and heartache? If either of those questions had been asked a week ago, 2 weeks ago, a month ago, the answer would have undoubtedly been yes. In the beginning, family and close friends understood my need to be a recluse, to bury myself under the comforter for days on end and not surface for air or food or human interaction. But as time ticked on, as month after month passed by, everyone worried for my well-being, worried whether or not I needed professional help to move on. How do I move on, though? And why is it acceptable to move on? So many other women have stood where I stand, wore the same shoes, yet they stood their ground, held firm, didn't let others sway their choice. Why couldn't I? Over the last 3 days, I allowed myself time to answer this question. I stepped outside myself and tried to see everything from different perspectives, replayed the advice and voiced concerns of those I love most. More importantly, I questioned what Chris would want. If anyone's opinion mattered more, it was his. Yesterday morning, when I woke with puffy red eyes and a minimally sutured heart, a realization struck. All Chris ever wanted was for me to be happy. Once, he told me he hated when I cried, sad or happy. He never wanted tears to stain my cheeks.
"The world needs your smile,"
he'd told me.
"Give it, and don't let anything steal it."
The longer his words echoed in my memories, the more I cried. I don't want a limited, half-lived life. But how do you smile after you lose the one person who made it shine the brightest? Gifting someone my smile nowadays feels like betrayal, foul and inappropriate, loathsome. Until I met Fletcher. The way he regards me is different. Everyone familiar walks on eggshells around me since. But Fletcher doesn't know me. Not the way a family does. To Fletcher, I am mysterious and fascinating, an enigma, a cryptograph to decipher with special glasses and a secret decoder ring. And part of me wonders if he unknowingly has the tools. When he looks at me, he sees me. Although he hasn't stated as much, he sees the hurt. The only difference when he sees it versus my family and friends, he doesn't dig. He doesn't insist I speak up and voice the madness cycling in my head. Doesn't suggest therapy or getting out there. He simply asks if I want to talk about it. He makes me want to talk about it. Yet I still bite my tongue. I swipe up my cottage key from the table and head for the door. Maybe today I'll find my voice, I mutter to myself as I lock up. Just as I step onto the gravel path and walk toward the main residence, I hear my name called out. I stop and spin to see Fletcher 20 feet back. Although fully aware his cottage is an easy 1 minute walk from my own, I startle at seeing him. I skitter to a stop, lift a hand and wave. "Morning." My eyes rake over him in a shameful manner, and I quickly shift my gaze to the trees. When he reaches me, the smile he flashes heats me more than the summer sun. I inwardly cringe at how easily this man makes me feel emotional connections I never experienced prior. Not even with Chris. Do these feelings make me a horrible person? Do they make me subpar? In my eyes, yes. Once upon a time, I made